just wanted to make this statement and make sure, because we didn't have a specific motion related to Framework 24 being a one-year action only, and I'm understanding that's your intent by this one passing. And then I would take that to the next step to understand from Pete's question about having default measures. The PDT recommended to you today that your default measures should only focus on days at sea allocations and setting your days at sea allocations similar to how you have in the past at 75% of what the projected days at sea are. So you haven't had an actual motion related to that, whether you agree with the PDT's suggestion. We're just trying, that was our recommendation, to get away from this putting effort in areas that don't ultimately end up being what you want. Going annual specification route is one way to deal with it, and then having your default measures only be days at sea is another way to deal with it. So I just wanted to clarify what you do want the 2014 default measures to be. Would it be just days at sea still, as we recommended for 15, or, I mean, that's what I imagine the PDT would be recommending, because we feel the default measures should be as not complex, as straightforward as possible, understood to be replaced later. But then you do start your fishing year with only days at sea.
So I would refer people to document 9. So if we are to have a one-year specification, and then move on to framework 25, on page, if we were to choose alternative 1 on page 4, the numbers that are proposed for 2014 become default numbers in the current framework. The PDT proposes that we consider only allocating days at sea and not the access area trips. My assumption is that if we move forward, we're likely to, given the timing of the surveys, Deidre, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, looking at late implementation, as always, probably around May 1. Sometimes it gets delayed a little further. Just interested to hear from the industry. Any thoughts on that? One more from Deidre.
Yeah, just to add on to that, because I think this gets confused. You know, the reason that this council consciously chooses or is okay with it starting in May is that we want to use the most recent survey results, which only come in late summer each year. And there's no way we can have final action in September, which is what's needed to get it in for March. This is chronic. This has been explained many times. And so this council's preference right now is that's okay. We want to use that data. It's more important to use updated data. So we're okay with May 1. But the problem is when those areas open on March that shouldn't open, that's why the PDT is saying, okay, forget the area allocations. You got to wait until the framework is implemented in May for that, but you can start with your days at sea. It's not ideal, but in the timing situation we have, it's a less risky way that you're not going to be in an emergency action situation every year.
And just a quick comment. I understand why the PDT might make that recommendation. But then when you think about the discussion that the AP had relative to Hudson Canyon and not delaying, you know, taking those trips until later, I mean, I don't know. Drew, did you have a comment?
If we were to pursue the PDT's recommendation, you would be looking at default measures in place that would give the fleet, you know, you're looking at 31 days. So say 5% of that's 23 and a quarter, so either 23 or 24, depending on how you want to do it, your days to start the year with no access area trips allocated. That's depending on, you know, it could be a little tight depending on how much of the delay is. Industry totally accepts and agrees with waiting for the latest survey results to come in and, you know, not acting until we are on just the front end. What we can accept and do not understand and continue, you know, is to follow on a point brought on, we have so much effort put on turtles, yet we can't anywhere near that amount of effort by the agency to put out plans and actually, you know, generate wealth for the nation. Why it takes from November until May to get the thing approved. It's not like the agency isn't right here in the middle of the whole process, knows exactly what's going on. why an agency that participates at every step of the way. I mean, half of the PDT, or more than half of the PDT, is agency employees. They are here, they're voting, they're commenting. Why then, after being involved in the process with all of us throughout the entire time, it takes an additional 5 months or whatever it is to then approve the plan after it's voted out by the council is something that's never been explained. It goes into the black box of the agency. Whose desk is it sitting on? Where does it go? That's the problem with implementation. Waiting for the appropriate amount of data is not the problem. The inordinate amount of time the agency sits on these amendment, you know, frameworks and amendments and implements them, that is a fundamental problem that has still never been addressed. We hear talk, chatter, oh, we'll explain. Nothing happens, and it has to stop. The agency needs to step up and get these things. If they know we have a March 1st deadline, the scalper's got to get his permit application in time, or he doesn't get a permit. That same kind of standard has to apply to the agency. They need to get it done. And if they need more resources to put for it, let's stop. You know, the resource allocation from what we just heard this morning is completely out of whack in this agency. If we have 2 to 3 times the amount of people working on the protected resources branch, then actually implementing a plan that puts hundreds of millions of dollars into our economy. I mean, what are we doing? Is it not this administration's priority to put people to work? What's going on? So that's the issue with that. As far as the, apprehensive about not having an access area in place, but at the same time, the access areas are what make us scramble all the time. So I think in an imperfect world, it's the best way to do it. But the real solution here is not these Band-Aids. The real solution is get the plan in place in time. Don't sit on it for months.
So, Drew, just to clarify, you're agreeing with the PDT suggestion? Thank you. Bill Wells?
I'd like to mention one other issue. We're headed in the right direction, but I want to come at this. I'm not going to pound on the desk, beat anybody up that works for National Marine Fisheries Service, but I completely support what Drew just said. I wanted to add one element, and I am not speaking as the chairman of the advisory panel. I'm speaking as a boat owner and a former fisherman. I do support the motion, but I don't want us to become used to having to do all these things because we can't get a framework through in time. The reason is real people that own boats don't want to start their year out in the open area. These boats are laying up 6, 7, 8 months out of the year. The worst trip is the first trip. I guarantee you, I don't care how well you take care of your boat, I don't care if you go down and run your winches every day, things happen on that first trip that just don't happen any other time. Anybody in this room that's ever commercially fished and owned a boat, owns a boat or has owned a boat, knows what I'm talking about. You can only do so much, and when you go into a closed area, doesn't matter. You waste some fuel, but you don't lose any scallops. When you go into an open area, you have a real problem. If it's bad enough and you've got to steam home, you just wasted some days at sea. Again, do I support the motion? Yes, I do. But Drew's point is well made, not only because of the reason he made the point, but because if we become comfortable with constantly being late, it puts the industry in a position to where they either go to sea or they take a chance with their open area days at sea, and I should say they wait for the closed areas to open, or they go use their open area days at sea. They're going to have breakdowns. This is going to happen. If you own multiple boats, it'll happen on probably half of them. If you only own one boat, it's even worse because that's your only source of income. So do I support the motion? Yes. But there are other operational reasons why this is really not a good thing long term. Thank you.
Just to point out, we don't have a motion yet. We're just discussing a recommendation from the PDT. And I'm going to go to Rick and then out to the public.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to follow up with Bill Wells, if I could. I appreciate the concern that he raised. But, you know, our experience has been that, unfortunately, as dynamic as the resources relative to projections, if an access area underperforms, we find ourselves in this position where we've allocated And the, you know, suddenly we're faced with a problem. So I just didn't know if you had any practical alternatives to that. I mean, I think the PDT recommendation is one that's obviously risk averse, but I was just trying to see if there was a practical alternative.
Eddie Welch, Fish and Vessel Westport. I'd like to agree with what both Drew and Billy said. And there's another part of what Bill said. It's the men. I mean, they've been laid off all winter, and now you start getting the grip. I mean, you don't see baseball players play opening day before they have spring training. We kind of consider those closed area trips as spring training. Somebody gets the grip, well, it's no big deal. You're not under the clock. You're going to get your 18,000 pounds, whether it takes 5 days or 15 days.
Tell them what the grip is.
Oh, the grip is, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's worse than if you break your wrist. I mean, you literally can't wipe your ass. So if you get it in the wrong hand. But, I mean, that's what happens, too. So if you start on these open area days and you get one or two fellas get the grip, I mean, you seriously got to consider coming home because your production per day drops that dramatically. So, I mean, it's the best thing for the industry, the best thing for the resource is to get into those southern areas early in the year when the meats are good and the turtles aren't there. And it benefits the men. I mean, they've only got X number of days to make a living. If you lose two guys to the grip or not only that hurts you, but the boat breaking down, too. So I'd just like to agree with what both those fellows said.
Thanks very much. I'm going to go to Deirdre. We're talking about solutions.
Just very quickly, I agree, of course, exploring ways to speed up different parts of the review is one strategy, and the other less popular one is to change the fishing year. I know you don't like it, but that is also another alternative that would allow you to start the fishing year with both days at sea and trips. Just looking, Rick asked for alternatives.
Pete, did you have something to add?
Yeah, just, you know, I want to assure everyone no one's sitting on any actions. Drew, I think you know that. You know, we have ways that we can reduce the time of thing, but these actions take time to put through. You know, Ron Smolowitz has asked whether industry can come up and try to understand the process, try to understand why it takes time, and we're more than willing to do that. We need you to tell us who you want to bring in. We'll set up the meeting. We'll set up the space. We'll tell you everything you want to know about why it takes us time to put an action in place. Hiring or bring new people from PR, bring staff over, that's not going to help. I mean, Emily and Travis are pretty much doing, Emily's pretty much doing this on her own. But adding another person's not going to help get an action through. It's just the time it takes, and we can explain that. So that's it.
Tom?
Thank you. I think we've had a good conversation here, expressed some obvious frustrations with the process, but the only alternative, and I think Deirdre was brave to offer it, was the change in the fishing year, which we've considered and then rejected, and we've heard a tremendous amount about, negative response about. So with all that said, I do think that I think it was important to hear the frustration. I think there are some communications issues, and there's probably some ways that we can improve the timeliness. I think we should explore that. What we're here to do today, I believe, is what we're faced with is the decision of whether we're going to go with the PDT's recommendation in the short term. And in the short term, I don't see, as I think Rick pointed out, a viable alternative in front of us. So I don't know if the chair would prefer to do that by consensus or with a motion, but I really don't see any other short-term solution to moving forward.
Actually, I think accepting the PDT advice through consensus is fine, particularly in that our recommendation for an annual spec at this point is contingent on what action the council may take next week. We're not totally sure if we're now referring to this as a default for 14 or 15. So I think if people are comfortable with accepting the concept through consensus, and then, you know, we'll see what happens next week, and then when we, you know, the PDT will get some feedback that way, bring us back something more concrete in November. Everybody comfortable with that? Rick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm comfortable with that. I guess I would suggest that, you know, that still leaves room for the council staff and the regional office to try to review the process for the framework implementation to see if there are any efficiencies that or improvements that can be made in the timing of implementation. So, you know, I would suggest that moving forward with the PDT recommendations fine, but, you know, I still think the other administrative aspects of this ought to be reviewed between the regional office and the council to determine whether or not there could be any opportunities to further expedite the process.
I think that's a good recommendation, Rick. I think that they have had these discussions before, and to the extent that it could be clarified a little more, you know, Pete made some comments for the industry. Maybe that would help out. Okay, so I think we can...
Okay. I just want to make sure everyone's read what I wrote, because it's not a motion.
Anyone want to take a minute to read the language? That's what we're talking about. I think everybody understands. Thank you. And the one thing before we move on to a discussion that Rick would like us to have, when I look at the continuation from 2012, number one on the list, although this list is not, I don't believe, prioritized, is complete an evaluation of the limited access general category IFQ program. And generally, when we add something above the line, something falls below the line. Now, this review, we are required on a five-year schedule, I believe, to review the IFQ program. And my question to Deirdre is, what year will 2013 be for that program? Will it be year three?
Technically, under IFQs, it started in 11, right? 10. 10? 10? Sorry. 10, I think. 10, 11. How many years have we been under IFQs? I think it's been 10, 11, and we're in the third year.
So I guess my question to the committee is that the council is required, I believe, to do a five-year review of the plan. If we're in year three and then, you know, 2013, we're going to be in year four, we're going to hit that year five here before too long. So I'm wondering if... this should really be below the line for 2013 and above the line for 2014, in that I'm not sure why we would add an additional review when the five-year review requirement is not going to go away. It just seems redundant to me, and I think we do need to do it. I think it has value, but I also think that we have been having discussions and trying to tweak the program as we go, and I think a bit of time would go into this, so there's a discussion of the need for a workshop and a few things like that. So any feedback from the committee on that would be helpful, and any comments from the public? No one's jumping on that one. Go ahead, Deirdre.
Only thing I'll add, and Demet, please correct me if I'm wrong, since Demet's really taking the lead on this, I would say the PDT is roughly 75% of the way done. We have done the lion's share of this work, just so you're aware. And if a workshop is not, you know, if that's not done, you know, it would be a little bit more work wrapping it all up and putting it in a report. But, you know, we are, the lion's share of this work was done in the beginning of 2012.
Okay, so then I would just have a question. Is the question really that this is not going to, there's no need for this priority in 2013 because the work will actually get done in 2012? It's just the discussion of the workshop, whether to hold that now or to perhaps hold it later. Is that the only issue?
No. We're straight out on the framework right now. through the end of the year. I mean, following the November council meeting, I'll be submitting. So, no, we're not going to pick this up again until calendar year 2013, because we're straight out with Framework 24 now through the end of the year.
Okay, so if we start Framework 25 in 2013, is it okay to just leave this in as time permits? Is that an okay way to treat it?
Right.
Okay, so I think that's fine then. Rick, you want to raise the issue that we discussed earlier?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Earlier in the day, I pointed out the fact that we really do face very limited flexibility in the context of what we're doing here today, looking at a framework for specifications for the next 2 years, in terms of trying to offset some of the potential impacts to the fishery. And I think as you consider going from landings in the mid-50 million pound range down to 40 million pounds, you know, potentially next year we're going to have roughly $150 million impact at the X vessel level in the fishery. And I think in light of the scale of that impact, it's really incumbent upon us to consider how we might mitigate that. And again, within the ACL framework and within the context of what we're doing through specifications, we really don't have much flexibility. And inevitably, I mean, given just the life history of scallops and their recruitment patterns, we're going to have variability from year to year. I mean, that's to be expected. We can't operate within a nice tight bandwidth every year. But having said that, we're going to have a big swing here for fishing year 2013. I think the timing is right to look at ways that we might mitigate that. There's nothing available to us that would fully compensate those impacts. But having said that, there are obviously significant scallop resources in some of the EFH areas, and those cannot be addressed through the framework. So the motion that we just passed a moment ago about looking forward to 2014, or to the fishing year 2014, with initiating a new amendment that might, or a new framework that might potentially modify scallop access areas, can't really improve access to those EFH areas unless the Habitat Omnibus Amendment is passed. And I recognize that the New England Council has invested extensive resources in the development of that amendment. I think it's fair to say that the time is ripe to consider how we might achieve that access in order to mitigate some of these impacts. So with that, Madam Chair, I would offer a motion, and that would be to recommend to the Council, including scallop access areas and allocations in and around current EFH closures in the Habitat Omnibus Amendment, and recommend expediting submission of the Habitat Omnibus Amendment to the greatest extent practicable.
Thank you, Rick. And do I have a second for the motion? Laura, second it. And, you know, it's a little bit of a long motion, so let's give Deidre a few moments to get it up. Okay, we have the motion is up. Any comments around the table?
I'm sorry, I did have a question. Recommend to the council as a priority, or we're talking about priorities. I don't know if I lost for what and when. I might have said.
Well, I think in the context of this, we are discussing priorities, and so you'd want to consider it relative to that timeline. Madam Chair. And again, just for background, the Habitat Omnibus Amendment is looking at these areas, but it doesn't currently include establishing the scallop access area. And so right. If you think about the importance of trying to implement this as quickly as possible, I think this would be the fastest way to do it, because otherwise it would have to come through in a trailing action, some sort of trailing framework, which would further delay implementation of it. And I'm, you know, thinking ahead. I don't know that it's practical to have it in place. I wouldn't think it'd be practical to have it in place for calendar year 2013. But if the council is successful at expediting the amendment, then potentially prior to the end of fishing year 14, under a best case scenario, or prior to the end of fishing year 2013, for example, early 2014 calendar year, this could come online. And that would be an ambitious timeline, but I think we need to set up the opportunity for that to happen.
Thank you for that, Rick. So there are two parts to the discussion that I want people to be clear about. The council's received a request to expedite the Habitat Amendment. That's a discussion that the council will have next week. That's not a discussion we need to have here today, because we're not going to be deciding that here today. What we're saying here today, if we pass this motion, is that we would like this included, so when the Habitat Amendment moves, whether it's expedited or not expedited, that there would be an opportunity upon implementation for the scallop industry to have access to any additional areas that become available. So that's all that this says. And the discussion for whether we expedite or what the schedule for the Habitat Amendment would be will take place next week. Dave Preble.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I agree with what you just said, but I don't think that says it, not what you just said. I'm very confused by the wording. In fact, I don't really understand the wording at all. Recommend to the council including development. Recommend that the council include development? Is that what that is supposed to say? I'm not sure. Recommend that the council including development of scallop. Okay, that's what it was meant to say? Okay. Complete development. Okay, now, then it goes on to say that include development of scallop access areas and allocations in and around current EFH closures in the Habitat Omnibus Amendment. I don't understand that either. That we would, that is it saying that it wants us to include these as scallop access areas and allocations in the Habitat Amendment? Is that what it says?
If the scallop industry is going to have access to the scallops on the northern edge, for example, you need to pick what vehicle you're going to do. It's going to be available to get you there when the Omnibus Amendment is implemented. We could add it to Framework 24. We could do that today, and that's likely to delay Framework 24. We could add it to a future framework. But again, we can't ensure to that the timing of the Omnibus and the timing of any future framework is going to come together in a way that the industry is going to have access to those scallops. The Omnibus Amendment, you put the two together, and it works. They implement the same day. It makes perfect sense. Otherwise, I mean, we know the loss to the industry that's being contemplated in this framework. This is a mitigation measure that would allow for the harvest of scallops that have been sitting there for a very long time, and it isn't a mechanism that would work.
I agree with what you're trying to do, first of all. I don't disagree with the intent. I want to make sure that this does it, and I don't yet see that it does. I'm concerned right now. The Habitat Amendment, we have been pushing, and I have been personally pushing to get this thing through for a long time against all kinds of opposition over the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's a large and complex amendment, and now it's approaching its denouement. It's about ready to go. The only thing holding it up, the holdup right now, is in the groundfish the analysis of the groundfish closed areas. And what I'm not seeing here is how including scallop allocation in the habitat omnibus amendment is doable. If that's what it says here, I don't get it. I just don't understand what it is that you're doing. Well, I'd like to understand it. I don't right now.
The reality is, for this to take place, the scallop PDT has to do the work. I mean, it doesn't matter what action it's in. The scallop PDT has to do the work. So in having just some basic logistical discussions with staff about where and when and how it might get done so that these things can sync up as best as we can and actually have it work for the industry, this was a recommendation that we thought was appropriate to try.